One of my best friends from high school, whose name's Stash, his actual name is Stan, but we call him Stash, he once told my dad that his commitment to lawn care is unprecedented. And if you've ever met my dad, he'll always brag about having the greenest lawn in the middle of the summer and nice thick grass. Takes a lot of pride in putting down grass seed all summer long, because if any spot gets a little bare or a little dark, then you gotta fix that. Then of course my mom has to water it all day while he's at work, and that always ends up in fun conversations for them. But my dad will tell you, the most important thing to grow grass is good, healthy soil. In the first reading from Isaiah, we're taught that God's word comes down like the rain to nourish the earth and to help good things grow. Throughout our salvation history, our generous God has rained down many words. Just think of all the prophets down through the centuries that have shared God's message with his holy people. Remember all those times that God came to the Jewish people, the stories of Moses speaking with God, and yet those chosen folks would not listen, fall away, get frustrated, not trust, whatever it might be. Kind of funny how 2,000 years later, some things just don't change, huh? They didn't always listen, and that seed fell on bad soil. The rain that Isaiah speaks of produces fields ripe for the picking, but it takes work to cultivate that seed that will keep the crops going or to have a nice thick lawn. But every time they did listen, good things happened, even if they had their doubts. Often their lack of trust, as is true for us, is because of our own pride and self-reliance, both of which can lead us into sin. St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that sin is what chokes out the good seed. The soil in the Garden of Eden was fertile and good and ready to go, but the sin of our first parents poisoned it. And there's a lot that plagues our world today. We all know that. Every so often, someone will ask me, you know, what do you think is the biggest challenge that the church faces in the world today? My first thought is usually secularism, because that's a system or a belief that doesn't even allow for the existence of God. So it's kind of hard to even have a conversation. A belief that says that these sacred words that we just heard, which feed and inform our lives, are totally hollow. But to be honest, there's another invasive weed, if you will, that I think is worse, and that's relativism. Moral relativism, in particular. This is a word that most of us have probably heard in one form or another. I know I've referenced it in different homilies and things, but never really gone in depth. The dictatorship of relativism, as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI likes to say, believes that there's no real objective truth. Simply put, it's an attitude that anything goes. It doesn't matter. One is free to create their own morality because no one is beholden to some other power or some greater good. Pope Francis says that moral relativism is the spiritual poverty of our time. He also says, the spirit of the world, the deceptive light of relativism, which obscures the splendor of truth and shaking the earth beneath our feet, pushes us toward the shifting sand of confusion and despair. Our world seems pretty confused these days, doesn't it? And I'm becoming more and more convinced that what divides us as a human family is rooted in this moral relativism. It's the rocky path on which the Word of God is currently falling. Just look around. Abortion, assisted suicide, the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of the sanctity of marriage, the attacks on religious freedom, and the overall assault on human dignity is all signs of a culture that is losing sight of the objective truth, losing sight of God. Relativism is often presented as what is necessary to be accepting, to be understanding, to allow people to have freedom as they wish. That might sound good, but that's not totally true. Sure, the charitable thing is not to dismiss someone right off the bat because of where they are in life. That's not good. But that doesn't mean beliefs and morality that are so contrary to what we know to be true and good have to be accepted. That doesn't have to be the case. True freedom is not a license to do whatever we want to do whenever we feel like doing it. True freedom is found in living the gospel in accord with God's holy will, because in God alone is found true freedom, true peace, and eternal joy. Sometimes we might think that our Catholic beliefs, especially those that concern human dignity and the right to life, that they're our choice. It's our truth. And so to promote them or defend them isn't accepting or nice, or you can fill in the blank. But how can we evangelize without truth? Without the foundation that the seed in the parable is the living word of God, divinely inspired and good for every human heart. You see, relativism in our world is like what invasive weeds are to my dad. They wreck his day, they get him all frustrated. And so relativism wrecks our world. It confuses us. We don't know where to go. Pope Francis so wonderfully talks about the power of invitation. And so as we defend and promote our faith and truths that are good for everybody, always with the utmost of charity, we can also use those moments as an opportunity for invitation. Because let's face it, shouting from the rooftops, condemning people without an invitation or an opportunity accomplishes nothing. And that's not what Jesus did. While we don't compromise our faith or accept false truths, we at the same time don't condemn people, leaving them in the dark. Jesus walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He had dinner with the tax collector. He didn't condemn the actions, but he invited them into a deeper relationship with himself. And so it's important that we invite people in our lives to the joy of the gospel, a joy that we know to be true because we experience it and live it. God, the sower, planted the seed of truth in each of our hearts, and it's up to us to cultivate it so that we can live in a world where the objective truth of the gospel prevails. The call of the parable of the sower is twofold. One, cultivate the soil of our hearts, and two, cultivate the soil of our world. It has to be both. It can't be one or the other. And to do that, we've got to be honest about what's really going on. There's a lot that's contrary to the gospel. We know this. None of which helps unify the human family. But we can do something about it. Opportunities are out there, because the harder that things become in society, it seems like the more people start searching. The more they feel confused because of what's going on, as Pope Francis said, the more they start longing for that eternal truth. The restlessness that's in the air is really a cry for God, whether we realize it or not. And so we have a great opportunity to invite others to hear God's word, because we, his children, have eyes that have seen and ears that have heard the truth of the gospel. Folks, there is an objective truth, and his name is Jesus Christ.